I'm reading from Genesis, chapter 15, verses 1 to 7. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now towards the heaven and the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it.
I'm reading from Romans 4, verse 20 to 25. Right. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offences and was raised up, raised again for our justification. Amen.
Morning, everybody, here in the icebox, and everybody in your nice warm homes on Zoom out there. Oh dear. Let me check the time first of all. Okay. I had a dream the other night, and I was standing up here preaching, and I was preaching my heart out. And then everybody in the seats was fast asleep. So I just hope that wasn't prophetic. But again, you folks on Zoom, you know, you're really blessed because, you know, if they think I've gone on long enough, the technicians can always turn me off. All right. Okay. Bless the name of the Lord. It's good to be in the tent of meeting, isn't it? Good to be in the Lord's presence this morning, to know that we're here, we're gathered to him, together unto him, to feast on him and to learn of him as well. And the Lord's put something on my heart to share with you, and I'll try and share it simply and briefly. And it's about the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of Christ. I don't know if you caught it there, just at the end of Dave's prayer, he was talking about how the Lord has made us righteous. If we have believed in Christ with all of our hearts, sincerely committing our lives to him, God has done a miracle in your life and mine of making us righteous. And righteous means right in the sight of God, having a right standing before him, both legally and morally. Legally, because God has a law which is written in heaven, and transgressors of that law stand condemned in his sight. And morally, because God has a moral law that will never change. And those who he makes righteous, he helps walk righteously before him as well in this world. What a wonderful God we serve. So if you want to turn with me, we'll begin at those scriptures in Genesis chapter 15 and look at the life of this man. Here he's called Abram. He's not yet Abraham. God is still working in his life. And as his life changes, his name changes as well. And as he gets to know God, so God reveals things to Abraham too. And it's wonderful to know that God came to Abraham. Says there in chapter 15 and verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. In other words, God took the initiative. God came to Abraham. God sought him out. He was a wandering Aramean. He was just from an ethnic group called the Arameans. And his father worshipped idols. We read that later in the Bible. But God appeared to Abraham in a vision. Now, God doesn't appear willy-nilly in visions to people unless their hearts are seeking God in the first place. And Abraham, we read in Acts chapter 7, verse 1, that Abraham, the God of glory, appeared to Abraham when he was in Ur of the Chaldeans. And that was probably the richest city on earth at the time. And if you want to look at any of the objects, the richness, the wealth of Ur, go to the British Museum in London, where you'll find them. And Abraham lived there, and God revealed himself to him. God came to him, and God always takes the initiative in our lives. And it's no accident that we're here in this place this morning, liable to lapse into hypothermia at any moment. But it's because God has brought us here. God has brought us here. Hallelujah. He meets us at every street corner. He's the God of the impossible. He's the God of everywhere. He's the God of everything. He's the God of everyone. He loves everyone in the whole wide world. And it doesn't matter where we're born, what circumstances we were born in, who our parents were, or if we don't know who our parents were, we are beloved of God, and God has sent his son, Jesus Christ, to save you and me from sin. Hallelujah. God takes the initiative in our lives, just as he took with Abraham, and God reveals himself to us. And he reveals himself to us as we listen to his word, and we open our hearts and put our trust in the things that God says to us. And so God took the initiative with Abraham and said, look, I'm your exceeding great reward. Hallelujah. This is a wonderful thing. God always has wanted to dwell with mankind. He made mankind to dwell with him in the first place, put the first man and woman in a beautiful garden, and he walked in the garden and he conversed with them. He brought animals to them for them to give them names. So he gave man the gift of language right at the beginning. And God walked and talked with mankind in the garden. And then mankind, that first family he created, that first couple, turned their backs on God. And when they did that, the whole human race turned its back on God as well, because the whole human race was in the loins of Adam. The whole human race was contained in that first couple. And the Bible teaches very clearly that if you and I had been Adam, we would have done the same thing. So the whole human race was trapped in this place. That came about because a wicked spirit deceived them. Well, deceived the woman. The man knew what was happening but did nothing to stop it. So his was the greater sin. And God said, right at the beginning, because you've done this, there are serious consequences. And he spelled those out. The first one of which was death. Death spiritually, morally, and then death of the body to follow with Adam 930 years later. But because of that, God saw what had happened, and God's love is an unfailing, everlasting love. And he said, I will send you a deliverer. He will be the seed of a woman, i.e. not the seed of a man. He would come just from a woman. And Isaiah tells us that God would send his son born of a virgin. A son would be granted to us who would be born of a virgin. And 750 years after Isaiah, a young woman called Mary, whose heart was pure and wide open to God, received that precious seed into her physical being, and the Son of God was born of a woman. God fulfills his word of prophecy right from the beginning, right through to the end. Hallelujah. and he is coming back. Hallelujah. That's the word of prophecy for the end. He's coming back. So here we are. Here's God coming to Abraham and taking the initiative, and God comes to your life and mine and takes the initiative. And one day we suddenly realize, I need God in my life. I need to open my heart to him. I need to give him my everything, give him my all. Why? Well, because God has given his all for you. God gave everything when he gave Jesus. Jesus came into the world on a mission. And that mission was to redeem humanity, to save us, to be a deliverer from the power of sin and the power of Satan, that wicked spirit who deceived our forefathers. Jesus came into the world to deliver us from the power of those things and to set us free and to make us children of the living God who live in liberty and freedom and joy in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Are you living in the joy of the Holy Spirit today? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because if we receive the righteousness of Christ, it is a righteousness that has joy bubbling up in it. Has a joy. It is a righteousness that imparts peace to us. It's a righteousness that gives us the sense that we are right with God. Hallelujah. And nothing can ever take that away from us. It's an eternal safety, security in God that Jesus gives to us. Praise his wonderful name. So anyway, Abraham takes the opportunity to have a talk with God. Because he said, look, God, you promised to give me a seed and you haven't given me one. And God said to him, well, basically, you are going to have a seed, but the time is not yet. And Abraham, he made one or two mistakes on the way, but the time came when that promised seed called Isaac came. And through Isaac, other children came, and the nation of Israel was born through Abraham's lineage. But here, Abraham's taking the chance to have a discussion with God, and it's always good to be honest with God. He said, look, God, you promised me something and it hasn't happened. Why? Why? We ask in reverence. We don't ask demanding that God does something. We can never tell God what he should be doing. We can never demand of him. You know, in the East, Far East, where we used to live, people wear their God around their neck. It's called an amulet, and it's an image of the Buddha. And there was a man who was coming down out of his house, and it was all flooded around. And his amulet dropped off his neck and he said, I've lost my God. Oh, well, that's a hard thing, isn't it? If you lose your God, you're in trouble. But with our God, we can never lose our God. We are the ones who are lost to him if we don't know Jesus. He has come to find us. And you can lose your God if it's made of silver or gold, or it's made of your status, or it's made of who you think you are, or if it's made of the great big I inside of us. We can all kind of lose that and wonder what our identity really is and be in a state of confusion. But God came to remove all confusion from us and give us the knowledge of who we are, our real identity, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay, when Adam turned his back on God, he lost his real identity. He became something other than what God wanted him to be. And it's when we find Jesus that we start to become the people that Jesus, that God always wanted us to be. And we find fulfillment in him. And we find the things that have been lacking in our lives suddenly coming into our lives. And anyway, God took Abraham outside and he showed him the stars. It's always good to look at the stars. Difficult to see sometimes in this country, Western Europe. Light pollution is so strong. But if you ever get to a place where there's not much light pollution at night, take a look at the stars if it's not raining or anything else. Why? Why did God show him the stars? Well, it's because the stars declare the righteousness of God. If we go into the Psalms, you don't have to follow me, but for the sake of time, I'll just read you a few verses. Okay, Psalm 45. Your throne, this is verse 6, Psalm 45, verse 6. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever a scepter of righteousness. The ruling power of God from his throne is righteousness. God is righteous, and he cannot fellowship with unrighteous man. This is God's problem. This is man's problem. It's your problem. It's my problem. It's the thing called sin, and it divides us from God. But God has made a way to take our sin away. Hallelujah. In Jesus, God came in his own Son. God was manifest in the flesh and walked on this earth in the person of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Our God has a name, and his name is Jesus. Glory to his wonderful name. His throne is the scepter of righteousness. Okay, Psalm 71. Psalm 71, verse 19. Also, your righteousness, O God, is very high, or as high as the height of heaven. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. That's Psalm 19, verse 1. Here, your righteousness, O God, is as high as heaven. God took Abraham outside to show him that he is the righteous one. God is the righteous one. And the righteous one can't have fellowship with us while we are in a state of unrighteousness. And God can come to us and speak to us through anything. Nature surrounds us. Nature is God's creation. It's his handiwork. And if you have an umbrella after the meeting, look at the bluebells in the dale. They're beautiful right now. And God can come and speak to us through his flowers, through his creation. Chris took me on a wonderful journey on Monday, all around North Wales. And at one point we ended at Innisfier, near Innisfier, on the Aber Dyfi estuary. And we saw an osprey come in to land on a perch. With a fish. Now, who taught the osprey to fish? Who taught the osprey to fish? Who taught it that 0.4 seconds before it catches the fish, it closes its wings and drops like a stone? Because that's the impact moment. And who put the suckers on its feet so that when it lands on a branch, it doesn't slip off and fall with a crash to the ground and break its neck? God did it. Hallelujah. God does wonderful things, and he comes to us in wonderful ways, and I'll never forget that day, Chris. Thank you. Hallelujah. God comes through his creation. So Abraham, he had to look up. He had to look up. And God says the same thing to me and you. We have to look up. Look up where? Look up to see Jesus. Jesus is the Lord of creation. All things were made through him, by him, for him, unto him, and all will return to him on that day when he comes in glory. And the trees of the field will clap their hands, and all creation will be restored to a state that it was in before the fall. Hallelujah. And more besides, and more besides. Glory to God. Anyway, look, God says, look at my son. Acts chapter 3 and verse 14. The apostles are out preaching on the streets, saying to people, now listen, you're all religious, you Jewish people out there, you're all very religious. You do this, you do that, you have 613 laws that you follow, you tithe your herbs on the plate, and you do your religious works in the temple, and you go to the feast, but you don't know God. You don't know me, Jesus was saying. You don't know who I am. And then here the apostles, with the realization, they know who Jesus is now. He's been killed on the cross. He's been buried. And he's been raised from the dead. And they've seen him and walked with him and talked with him. And now they're out preaching him. Acts chapter 3. And I'll start at verse 13. The God of Abraham. Okay, the same Abraham that we've been reading about. Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus. His servant Jesus. Jesus is the servant of God who came to serve us with salvation, who you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the prince, the Archegon, the author of life, the source of life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. Hallelujah. And I add my name to that too. I know that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead because he came into my life in Manchester in 1971. The real risen Lord Jesus. Glory to his name. And here they are preaching him, glorifying him. You denied the righteous one. There's only ever been one righteous man who has lived on the earth, and his name is Jesus. Only one righteous man. All the rest are unrighteous. If we go to Romans, before we come to an end, go to Romans, and we'll go to chapter 3, first of all. Romans chapter 3. And the letter to the Romans, of course, is the exposition of our salvation in detail, in profundity, in a way that reveals the mind of God in our salvation and how our salvation can come to you and me. And here Paul is saying that the Gentiles, they follow their own desires, their lusts, their covetousness, their evil-mindedness. And he says the Jewish people, they follow their religion, and they're all in darkness. Here in chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, not a single one. There is none who understands, there is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside, they have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. That's God's conclusion on the human race. Those are his words, not mine. And he said they're all turned aside. They've altogether become profitable. One turns aside after this particular desire, another after that particular lust, another after something else. Somebody wants to be important, somebody goes after ambition, another one goes after addictions, another one goes after this or that, but altogether we end up in the same place, separated from God and unrighteous. And then God says this, in chapter 3, God has made a way where you and I can become righteous. In verse 21, but now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. In the previous verse, he said, the law tells us that we are sinners because we can't attain to it. It's too high for us. It's too much for us. We don't have the capacity in our humanity to keep God's law. But now God has revealed righteousness, which is separate from the law. And it's the righteousness of God. It's his righteousness, which is through faith in Jesus Christ. When we put our trust in Jesus, that he died to save us on the cross of Calvary, that he died there for our sins, that he gave himself in our place as our substitute, and we put our trust in him for salvation, then God imputes and imparts to us a righteousness which is from him by a stupendous miracle of the Holy Spirit. The righteousness of God, that which God promised to Abraham. He said, look up to the stars. There's my righteousness. You see, I am the righteous one. You are on earth. You are unrighteous. But I, Abraham, can make you righteous. And Abraham believed God, and righteousness came into his life. Isaiah said, I'm dancing for joy this morning. Hallelujah. We could all get up and dance, couldn't we? That would warm us up. I'm dancing for joy this morning. Why? Because you've decked me in a robe of righteousness. You've given me something from you that is covering my sin, that's making me white and clean and pure, and I've got it forever. He has clothed me in a robe of righteousness. Hallelujah. Glory to his wonderful name. This is what God does for you and me when he imparts to us the nature of Jesus Christ into our lives on the basis of our committing our life to Jesus as our risen Savior. Isn't that wonderful? Is that wonderful? Oh, thank you. You're not all asleep. That's great. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wonderful, Jesus. So this is what God promises. Let's just go over to chapter 4 in Romans, that passage that Sue read to us earlier. He did not waver, meaning Abraham. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. Now, we have a choice. When we hear what we're saying from the Bible here, we can choose to believe it or we can choose to refuse to believe it. And God says, if you believe it, for you there is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you refuse to believe it, then you have to live with the consequences of being separated from him now and unto eternity if that refusal continues to the end of life, which is a solemn, very solemn thing. And we live in solemn days, dear ones, don't we? We live in solemn days. And the last year has taught us that life is a very fragile and a very precious thing. When we receive that righteousness from God, here it says, it was accounted to him for righteousness. When Abraham believed God, God counted him righteous. And he not only counted him righteous, but he actually imparted, gave to him the righteousness of Jesus Christ as a gift before Jesus came, because the cross looks backwards as well as forwards. And that righteousness is a gift for you and me today, beloved. God's righteousness is something which he imparts on the basis of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, freely given to us from God because Jesus, his son, has died for us. Hallelujah. Have you received that righteousness of God yet in your life, dear one? Have you received the gift of God that is too wonderful for words? If you haven't, you can receive that righteousness today. God's gift is the same. He's in the eternal present. Jesus is alive and he's here, and you can receive his righteousness today as a free gift. Blessed be his wondrous name. And for those of us who, and for all of us, okay, when we receive that righteousness has an outworking in our lives. And I'm going to go finally to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to go to Mark chapter 10. All right. And I'll talk about Ephesians 4 on the basis of Mark 10. Mark chapter 10. Here was somebody who met Jesus on the road. And we were looking at him in a particular meeting yesterday. His name is Bartimaeus. And he was a beggar. He had absolutely nothing to offer to God. Absolutely nothing to offer to God. And if we still think that we can be righteous before God because of our good works, because of our church going, because of our Bible reading, or because of all the good things we do to other people, then we still haven't come to the place where we can receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because his righteousness is given on the understanding that in ourselves we have nothing to offer God. We come as paupers, we come as sinners, we come begging for mercy. And that's exactly what Bartimaeus did. He was sitting by the roadside begging, and when he heard Jesus was passing by, he cried out saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And people around told him to shut up, as people still do if you want to really seek God. But he cried out the more, "Jesus, have mercy on me, Son of David." And Jesus heard his voice. Isn't that wonderful? Beggar. Jesus didn't hear the voice of all the religious people who were standing far off from him, but he heard the voice of a beggar. And this, as he heard the voice of the beggar, he said, "Call him to me." And they called him. And then everybody around changed their tune and they said, oh, come on, get up. He wants you. And he came to Jesus, but he did something before he came to Jesus. He took his beggar's cloak, which was his identity, and he threw it on the ground. And he came to Jesus, and Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And of course, it was obvious, wasn't it? He was blind. He needed eyes. But Jesus wanted him to speak out in faith what he wanted from God. And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said, go, according to your faith be done to you. And instantly, he got his eyesight. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Instantly, the righteousness of Christ can come into our lives and change us from sinners to being sons and daughters of the living God. Right at this very moment, glory to God. Hallelujah. Isn't this exciting? Glory to God. The righteousness of Christ is a dynamic thing. This is what I'm saying. Sorry. This is what I'm saying. It's a dynamic thing in our lives. And it outworks in our lives. And dear Bartimaeus, when he received his sight, he didn't just say, oh, thank you, Lord. I'm going off to my favorite place to, just enjoy myself now. No, he said he followed Jesus in the way. He followed Jesus in the way. He gave his all to Jesus. Jesus had given him everything in giving him sight, and he gave his all to Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we do that today? Can we say that of ourselves today? Jesus, I'm going to give you my all from now on. Jesus, you're not just going to have a part of me. You're going to have everything. Lock, stock, and barrel. Whatever that is. Hallelujah. Jesus. Are we willing to say that to him today? That's what he wants us to hear, and to come like Bartimaeus with like paupers and say, Lord, please give me that which I need. And Jesus says to us today, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Let's just take a moment to pray and consider that word, and then we're going to sing the song. Hallelujah. Sing it. Yeah. Lord. Dear Lord Jesus, we do thank you that you came to die for us. You came on a mission. You knew you would have to shed your precious blood. And still you came and you gave yourself for us. And now you still give yourself to us, Lord, in your own person, your own blessed righteousness, coming into our lives to make us right with you and then to help us walk right before you. Lord, help us be like Bartimaeus, Lord, and cast off the old identity of going our own way and doing our own thing, considering our own pleasure before you. And Lord, help us to put on the new man, which is you in us. Lord, in holiness and truth, as your word says there in Ephesians, Lord, help us to put you on day by day as we walk in this soiled and corrupted world. Help us to walk worthy of you, Lord. Help us to live in your righteousness and declare your righteousness as well. And Lord, to yield our lives to you for whatever service you want to put into our hands. We ask this in and through your precious and wonderful name. Amen.